And welcome back to the Film Reel Cast. It's Stuart, your host for another weekly podcast. And thank you for joining us. And just a little side note, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, it will, especially this episode, it will contain plot spoilers, foul language, gratuitous conversation, and just general immaturity. So if you're new or if you're easily offended, it's just a warning. The films we're talking about, we do tear apart the plot completely. And I don't do that alone. And I'm joined by, and I don't know who to go to first. It's so much pressure. But Neil, how are you?
It's so big.
Oh, thanks, mate. Dude. I feel special now. That's even more special than normal.
You are special. I don't mean in the needs category. I just mean you are genuinely bloody special.
Well, both probably. But yeah, thanks, mate. No, all good. Let's just get on with this after we've introduced Kelly.
Excellent. And that is right. We have Countdown back on the pod. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm really good. And if you're listening to this, you'd have just heard the reason why we call her Countdown, because he takes so long to answer. You'll get used to that. For those who listened to the pod before, you'll already know that. You'll be used to probably popping off, put the kettle on, and then Kel will come back and answer the question asked to her.
Rude. Uncalled for. Totally uncalled for. I have not muted myself for a long time because of that.
But very true. And the reason why there's kind of a intrepidation, anxiety, nervousness in Neil's voice is because this week's film, as you've seen when you've clicked the title, is My Super Ex-Girlfriend, currently shown on Amazon Prime, 2006, produced by Canadian director Ivan Reitman. And you think the caliber of this man, National Lampoon's Animal House in 78, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Dave, Private Parts and Space Jam, Twins, Kindergarten Cop Jr., just to name a few, that this film, you'd be expecting a whole lot of laughs, a bit of a lovely story and a nice, tidy, wrapped-up ending. But you'd be surprised. I mean, the reason why we chose this film is because it suits our level of maturity and conversation that we often have in the podcast, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah, really, I wouldn't say I'm nervous. Am I quiet?
No, Kelly's very quiet, as if she's like the fucking mature one for some reason.
Well, you didn't ask me a question, so I left it to Neil.
Oh, I thought it was an open question.
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
Yeah, but we can't both answer at the same time, can we? You moan at me then for talking over people. I can't win.
Oh my lord, here we go. She's started early.
Oh, I said it was going to be one of those nights, didn't I?
Oh, dear. We're going through the I can't win phase. That's quite early, yeah. Really. I mean, we're only kind of, 7 minutes into the podcast and in the I can't win phase.
That's good work, that is, to be fair. To be fair, to pull that card straight away like that.
It's not bad. I'd have to kind of bow down and say it's impressive.
It's good effort. And I'm not nervous about this pod at all, whatsoever. Nothing really phases me. It's more the fact of the film itself, but we'll get into it.
We certainly will do. And this film, as I say, it's got an interesting cast. It's got Uma Thurman from our Kill Bill podcast reviews, plays Jenny Johnson. It's got Luke Wilson, who, if you're doing a film and you want Owen Wilson, but your budget just doesn't stretch that far, he is the B-side, isn't he?
that's one way of putting it, yeah. I mean, do you know, he's the type of actor that you think, I've seen him in stuff, but I can't remember what.
Yeah, he is one of those people. And I looked at, because I thought, do you know what? I'll go and print off his IMDb for the films he's done.
Mm.
And when you go through them, you think, God, I haven't really seen any of these, but I've fucking seen him in loads of things.
Well,
it's
that's
really
it.
Really strange.
That is exactly it. Every time you see him, it's like, oh yeah, I remember this guy, but I can never say where from.
No,
because he does the same type of shit.
He does, doesn't he? As I say, because Owen Wilson is, we're going to do kind of more A-list, these kind of films, but the B-list ones, let's just get his brother in. But you've got Anna Faris, who always does parody films, like Scary Movies and stuff like that. When you go through the film she's done, it's like, we're not going to do Scream, you're not that good to be in Scream, but we're going to do a parody film, which is shit, and you can star in that one. And she's done loads of films like that. It's fucking crazy.
But she's fit, so it's all right.
Do you think she's fit? I think she's strange looking.
She's odd looking. She's got a weird face.
She'd get so much dick.
She probably does, to be fair. Does.
Not mine, sadly, but she would if I was able.
I think she's got a face like a gremlin.
Well,
it's strange.
Call me attracted to gremlins, then.
Oh, I can indeed. You've got Rain Wilson from The American Office, who I absolutely love, and he's in a film called Hero, it's called Super, and it's he's obsessed about a superhero. That's a really, really good film. That's on Amazon as well. But you ever get a chance to watch that? It's got Liv Tyler in, Kevin Bacon in. Funnily enough, Kevin Bacon plays a baddie in that.
Whoa! No way!
I know, right?
Fuck off!
Yeah, I know. He just went out the box, did something different, and he plays a baddie. Eddie Izzard is in this as Professor Bedlam, and who? Wanda Sykes as well. For those who have seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm, she plays Wanda in that, and she plays exactly the same character. She's very much kind of burn your bra and have a go at the guys, and just very kind of a woke character. But I like her, and she's a really good voice actress as well. You'll recognise her voice in lots of different films. But the story of this, it's set in New York. You've got Matt Sanders, played by Luke Wilson, is struggling to find love when he meets Jenny Johnson on a subway. Circumstances lead them to have dinner and immediately fall in love, one more so than the other. And then they have super sex, absolutely incredible super sex, and cosplay sex as well. And then Matt Saunders finds out that his girlfriend is actually G-Girl. And we can talk about the possibilities of what the G stands for. I reckon we'll all probably come to the same conclusion. And G-Girl is then stalked by Professor Bedlam, played by Eddie Izzard, who we learn is the arch enemy, but also a longtime lover. Eddie Izzard wants to take the powers away from G-Girl. But does he want the powers for himself, or does he just want G-Girl as his normal girlfriend? We'll find out when it ends up in a rooftop battle. And the ending is something that I really didn't think this film would do. I was very surprised and puzzled by the ending of this film.
Really?
It was weird. Yeah, it was a strange direction they went in, and I need to talk at the end of this about their uniforms or outfits, whatever you call them.
Costumes,
thanks, Carl. They're really fucking strange. They really are. So I didn't look at the budgets. I didn't really care about this film, to be honest, to find out what the budgets were. Do we reckon it was a loss or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Do you know, I'm going to go for no, just because...
You've looked it up.
No, I didn't even bother, to be honest.
That's cheating.
Just because of Uma Thurman, that I'm just going to go that it may have been popular. People would have been a one-time watch until word got round. So what it was exactly like, and then it possibly would have bombed. So let's have a look. Wow, the budget is 30 million. Gee, where did that go?
30 million.
God, it must have been. And it made 61 million.
Whoa,
Jesus.
Am shocked.
Yeah, the opening weekend of 8 million and gross US and Canada was 22 million. So it's our fault. It's Europe and Asia. We're the ones who inputted the extra 40 million.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, we're to blame. So, yeah. But this film starts off, like any Superman film, if you've seen the Richard Donner films, always starts off with like an action scene to set up the introduction of a possible the long-running villain for the film, or the introduction of our superhero. And that's what we get through this, when it's a jewellery heist, and we see them, it's very kind of simple, not really violent. I think this film is only a PG or a PG-13.
It is.
And you get the robbery, and you get G-Girl turning up. There's not much of an introduction for her, really, is there? She's just there, lifts this car up that these baddies are in when they're high-fiving each other. I think she fucks up this, like, kind of heist, kind of takeover, because she picks the car, drops it outside the police station, and then they all get out of machine guns and start shooting, don't they?
Yeah, it's not the best. It's not the best, but they all chant her name anyway.
They do, and they all chant G-Girl. She's got a massive G, and let's go there. What do you think the G stands for G-Girl?
Game girl.
Do you think she's a game girl?
Yeah.
You're hoping, anyway.
Yeah.
Not in this. No, that's the thing. Because no, I was quite excited. I wouldn't say excited. I like the fact that Uma Thurman and Anna Faris was in it because I think they're both very attractive, but I don't find Uma Thurman very attractive in this at all.
Why not?
No, she's just, I don't know, just really plain. Just there's something about her in this that just I'm not attracted to.
I think she's strangely good looking, Uma Thurman. I think she's one of those ones you can't help but look at her and you just think she's good looking. I do anyway. But we're kind of different because obviously Anna Faris, I think, like far away, like she's nice, but close up, don't think it does her any compliments. But is Uma Thurman is a lot plainer in this. It's almost as if she doesn't wear makeup on purpose, especially when she's kind of being an alter ego, Jenny Johnson, that kind of very plain. And as Rainn Wilson says at the start of this, kind of the very plain librarian type who's just wants to play it all down, but is a cat in the bed. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I get that. And I get the fact that it's obviously her disguise and alter ego and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm not even talking about that, really. I just found that she just didn't do it for me in this film. That's all.
It's weird because I thought when she was turned into G-Girl that her hair is obviously blonde, that she'd be a lot more done up. And a lot more sexual because it's the complete opposite of her alter ego, isn't it?
Yeah.
I could see you wishing.
Well, yeah. I can understand what you're saying. She just didn't. Not for me. I was disappointed.
I think you were expecting too much from this kind of a film.
No chubby.
And had you guys seen this before the pod?
Fuck no.
No.
Oh, fair enough. It was
fucking this. This is the complete opposite of types of film that I like. So the chances of me watching this is pretty much zero.
I was going to say, I kind of get why you chose it, but it's not a good film.
No, I chose it not because it's got a pedigree of I love this film. It was more because it's something different and I don't always choose films that I like. They're like in my top 20, you know what I mean? It's let's choose this one because I think it will be a good angle to talk about this or that, or it could be more engaging to listen to, and it gives us more of a chance to talk complete bollocks, which we do a lot of the time. So, no, this film I wouldn't recommend before, kind of, that's obvious, and I made that plainly clear. It's not a film that I think is great, but it's a film that I'd like to review and kind of critique with on the pod, because I think it's a film worth doing for that reason, which is strange. It's like Harry Potter. I'd happily just critique that as to why I don't like it and my own points of view. Obviously, millions and billions are against me and they love it, but I just can't stand it for X, Y, and Z reasons, which I'll happily talk about. But I know you hate rom-coms, Neil, don't you?
I do. I just hate all this shit. I really do.
There's nothing wrong with a good rom-com.
Yeah, well, good being the word.
Yeah, but we did...
Go for it.
Oh, is it just go for it? Yeah. Whatever it was with Adam Sandler, and you liked that, maybe because you were perving over Jennifer Aniston potentially, but still you enjoyed that and you found that quite funny.
No, I did.
Rom-com.
But that was because it was Adam Sandler. There was no comedy element in this film whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
Exactly, that's my point. Adam Sandler made it funny and the chemistry was really good. We talked about how good the chemistry was between everybody, even the children in it and all this type of stuff. And there was lots to talk about and there was really fun side note characters. Even the fun, air quotation marks, side character in this is fucking awful and it's not funny.
What, Rainn Wilson?
Yeah, fucking terrible. Not funny.
I like Rainn Wilson.
I do. But in this, it's fucking atrocious. It's awful.
I think the film would be a hell of a lot worse if it wasn't for him. I've got to be honest.
Do you? Yeah. I don't think he adds anything to it above him being just a complete twat. It's just... we'll go to the critique at the end, but I have to say from here on in, and that's why I text saying that you should be banned from choosing films, but then you gave your reasons why, so fair enough, I'll take it back. But there is nothing in this film that would make me want to watch it.
But some good films are good to review because they're so bad. And again, it's good to get it out there that if someone wants to watch this or someone else has watched this and they're like, fuck, I hate this film. I cannot wait to hear what they say about this film.
Mm.
And I often listen to a lot of the podcasts where the kind of like Now Playing, a brilliant podcast with four American guys, really, really good. And I often listen to their podcasts when there's a film that I think, God, this is fucking terrible. I'm really interested to hear if there's another angle or something that I completely missed, or if they're going to slate it completely and that I am kind of, my thoughts are right about what I thought. So, and yeah, that's what I kind of thought about this, really.
No, that's fair enough, mate. I understand. I understand now, but at the time, I was cursing you.
Oh, yeah. I definitely picked that vibe up, mate. Don't worry about that. That wasn't hidden.
That's right. As long as it went across, that's fine. Yeah, that's not it did.
But you say about Rainn Wilson, when they're on the train going to work, and I can kind of relate more to his character of when he's talking about the girlfriend. He says, you broke up kind of with your girlfriend 6 months ago.
Oh, dude, check her out. Ooh, wow. What do we have here? Kind of uptight librarian on the outside, ready to rumble on the inside.
Go ask her out.
No, I'm not ready yet. I'm not.
No, I can't.
Oh, Matt, you're killing me.
No.
Your last insane girlfriend dumped you like 6 months ago. I would have plowed my way through half of Soho by now.
Yeah, that's because your soul is shallow.
I can kind of relate to that kind of theory of getting over a woman. Whereas Owen Wilson, God, he wishes, Luke Wilson, God, he's got no get up and go. And I find it tough. And I'm kind of trying to relate to his character when he's encouraged to go and speak to Uma Thurman, who's sitting there just minding their own business. I would be useless if I had to go like and chat up with any woman, especially someone on the underground, and just chat her up. I would not know what to say. Would you, Neil? I'd be shit at trying.
You would not be shit. You flirt all the fucking time.
But thank you, Kelly. He's always flirting with me. It works on me all the time.
He definitely flirts with John in the office.
Oh, okay. My God. With the deepest respect, Neil, you're quite easy to flirt with.
Is that because I'm sort of fun and easygoing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Or is there another reason?
I'm a pleaser, so you welcome me.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to take that comment, Stu, to be honest.
But I wouldn't know what to say, especially with an audience and you kind of people listening, hearing you getting shot down. I'd be crap. I honestly would be shit. I wouldn't know what to say. I'd walk over there and just with no confidence in
that's
what
absolutely
I'm saying.
Rubbish.
Yeah,
that's
no, there's the first bullshit of the pod.
No.
Yeah, that's absolute crap. You have, whether you're chatting them up or whether you're just generally talking to people, male and female, you can talk to people so easily, it's ridiculous. So
no, but not
you have
asking someone out.
Oh,
I can talk to anyone.
You don't do that straight away, do you? You don't just go, hello, do you want to go out with me? You just go up and talk to them and then feel the vibe. And if you're getting the signs back, you know, nice little smiles, giggles, whatever, then you go, oh, do you fancy, you know,
a drink,
meeting up or one drink or swapping numbers or whatever? You'd be fine.
I think it's
you're
the initial
talking shit.
No, it's honestly, it's the initial, what do I, overthinking it, what do I say that isn't going to be cliche or creepy, but want to be entertaining and interesting. I'd overthink trying to get that mixture right. I wouldn't know what to say. Down the line, once you start talking and get their humour and that kind of connection, fine. But the initial, like, what do I say bit to that hook, which is so important, that's what I'd struggle at, you know?
I think you're overthinking it too much. Yeah. I think you're overthinking it way too much because for you, it just flows. You are such a smooth talker. It is amusing. There's no way you would struggle. No way.
Well, we will agree, but they do talk anyway, and she does blow him off, but it's only until someone grabs her handbag and he chases after him. And this is something that I always find quite funny. It happened in Only Fools and Horses, where he runs after the baddie. He drops the handbag and he starts giving it all the large. And the baddie hears what he said. He's like, what'd you say? You call me a shit. And then he starts running after fucking Luke Wilson.
That's right. You better run, asshole. Keep running, my man. You don't want any of this. Keep running. Whew. Yeah. What did you call me? Oh, shit. Did you call me?
But it is really stylish the way he hides in the bin with a hairdryer. And then we learn it's Uma Thurman, who actually comes along and hangs the baddie up from some of those kind of fire escape banisters. And he's clueless. And that's how he bags what you initially think is a really nice lady. And she's not actually bonkers yet, is she?
Not yet. No.
She looks really sweet and innocent and kind of very naive.
Yeah, there's no red flags at the moment, is there? Not that I picked up.
No, not yet.
And that's when we meet, Neil, your favourite, Anna Faris.
Oh, you do indeed, yeah. She looks very nice.
She does in what she's wearing, I have to say. Mm. She looks very, very nice. Very nice what she's got
bottom. Yeah.
And there's instantly a lot more chemistry between these two, isn't there, that you can pick up?
Oh, no, definitely. You can tell that, well, this film's so fucking predictable, it's unreal. But yeah, you can tell there's the interest there.
Did they used to go out at all? I don't remember hearing that they used to date, did they?
No, nothing like that. They're just work colleagues that like each other, but won't say anything. Oh,
that's not happened in
Friends. We've always been in relationships and all this shit. Yeah.
You sound like you're speaking from experience.
No, not at all. Once I've been told no, that's it. Tell up.
Once well, the non-molestation order's in place.
That's it. Once that court order's there, you won't hear from me again.
That's brilliant.
Fair enough. We learn that Hannah, Anna Faris, is dating an underwear model. And I like the fact that, and it's pretty, I can relate to this, that Luke Wilson says, yeah, give me 2 months of personal trainer, loads of steroids, and I can look like that or better.
Yeah, that was quite good.
I probably need more than 2 months, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, 2 years maybe, and I'll be there.
And again, talking about relating to characters, the next scene when we're introduced to Wanda Sykes is where Hannah is putting books up. We don't know why she's putting books on the top shelf on this ladder, but handily enough, Matt Saunders, Luke Wilson, is copping a huge look at her ass. And Neil, for some reason, I thought of you in this scene.
I don't know why. Actually, I do. Yeah, I do.
Because you wouldn't look. Are you trying to say you wouldn't look?
No, that's why I said, yeah, I do know.
No. It's his stew saying he wouldn't look.
Oh.
Why are you bringing me into it? I was talking to Neil.
I know, you shove it all onto Neil. You're not sweet and innocent.
I just said I thought of Neil when I saw this.
Okay. I thought of you. Let's put it that way. Then.
I thought of myself. So.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And funnily enough, Kelly, I thought of you as well.
I wouldn't perv on her ass.
No, when Wanda Sykes walked in.
Oh, that's good.
Wanda Sykes is the character who doesn't get any, who kind of moans at everyone else and is a little bit jealous. And I think that's where she was coming from.
What are you doing?
Huh? Oh, hey, Carla. Nothing. Just reshelving some reference material, trying to stay ahead.
You was staring at her butt.
He was?
No, I was not.
Yes, he was. Hannah, as you know, we have a zero tolerance policy for this kind of behavior.
Yeah, I actually read that memo twice. I got it.
Oh, well, you should be familiar with this part. Would you like to file a grievance at this time?
And obviously, Anna Faris didn't even give a shit, did she? She enjoyed it, in fact.
She was doing it on purpose. She was loving it.
She was. You don't get where... Obviously, you can wear what you want, but wearing a short skirt like that, bending down right in front of his face, she was teasing him. She knew exactly what she was doing to him. And he knew that as well. And I think that even Wanda Sykes knew that to a certain degree.
Potentially, yeah. I think she was just inserting her dominance, wasn't she? She seems to think that Matt Saunders is a bit of a pervert and a wrong'un as it goes on throughout the film, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I do like it when she said we've got zero policy behaviour. I sent a memo out, and the fact goes, yeah, I read that twice. I was that interested.
See, now that reminded me of you.
Brilliant. Great. I was just about to say, that's the kind of thing that any guilty man would say.
Yeah, no, I'm fully aware. I've read it twice, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the best memos this year. Honestly, I was so invested.
Definitely you.
Yeah, fair enough. And then Uma Thurman calls and they go out to dinner. It's like their first date. And you start to kind of get the small red flags, I think, are the signs that she is a bit clingy, but that would, I suppose, initially, that might be quite a nice thing that you could mistake that she's really into you, couldn't you?
She'd have scared me off by now.
Do you think so?
Yeah, too much for me. Too over the top.
It's be too like, full on too yeah. soon.
Yeah, I'd be like, you are psycho.
I'd still be in there. I'd be a bit curious. I mean, when she talks about she's like the assistant curator's job, which is like kind of perfect for me, and that she talks about being an art history major that she's really, really good at. And then when she says, well, it's only the one thing that I'm good at, she goes, well, oh, no. Then it starts awkward conversation. Because it sounds like I was talking about sex.
I was an art history major in college.
Oh, yeah?
It's the only thing I'm good at. At least the only thing I'm good at I can make any money off of.
Right.
That sounded like I was talking about sex, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Believe me, I didn't mean sex.
Oh, no,
I mean,
no.
I am good at sex.
Oh, I'm sure you are, yeah.
Now it sounds like I'm bragging.
No.
I think I'm good at sex. I don't know. You decide.
Me?
But not tonight. It's a first date.
That's like a hook out there, isn't it? You think, well, maybe not tonight. Might do. But the next date, possibly it's going to be game on. That's a massive hook for me. I'd be interested. I'd still be there.
You just ignore those flags waving, mate. You carry on.
I think it depends how desperate you are, doesn't it?
That's true. But, well, and I think Matt Saunders is very desperate, isn't he? He hasn't got laid for 6 months. She's talking about getting laid. He's like, oh, yeah, go on then.
I think any man would. And I think, Carol, I don't know whether you'd agree. In this situation, the woman has all the power. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Sex is definitely more used by women to control situations. Hell yeah.
God, it's so unfair, isn't it? It really is. That power.
But that, I think, is because blokes are a lot easier persuaded by sex or sex acts and things like that than women are.
What?
Women aren't necessarily so fast at like,
I don't get that, Neil, do you?
Depends how good you are.
Or me, or...
Well,
I was going to say, is that in general, or is that...
in general, I don't know. You know, I don't know what Stu's skills are, what his skill set holds, but, you know, I think if a bloke turned around and started talking like she did, the girl would be like, okay, that's ick. You know, they wouldn't be interested, but like, oh, you know, come on, you're presuming that you're going to have sex with me and all this sort of stuff and talking about how good you are. I think that instantly for women would it be going, you're talking out your ass sort of thing. You're just here to fuck me. You're not interested in who I am. But if a girl does it, they seem to think that blokes are like, oh yeah, fucking game on.
They seem to think that's bullshit. Blokes are. It's not
what
they seem to think. But you can pretty much guarantee I'm not saying this is fair, but let's just say a guy goes out and walks up to a woman and says, do you want to have sex with me? You'd probably get nicked for sexual harassment. If a woman went up to a guy and said, do you want to have sex with me? He'd be like, yeah, okay.
I'm
not saying that's right, but that is pretty much what would happen. Yeah. So blokes are definitely easier persuaded.
I'd say that because I wouldn't want to upset the woman because it could be her first go at actually asking
people. Shit.
Oh, I'll do it for you, love. Don't worry.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm a nice person like that.
Oh,
but,
so selfless, Stu.
I know.
Seeing you for a whole new light.
Thank you very much, mate.
It's covered in bullshit, but it's still the new light.
It's not too long until we see G-Girl in action where there's a fire. And she leaves the restaurant, makes her excuses. And then she's witnessed by Rainn Wilson, who's just given his commentary. And awkwardly, funnily enough, and the coincidence, which is meant to be the joke, which you kind of eye roll at, is that Matt Saunders is going, oh, I never get to see her face to face. I'm always going to miss out. Obviously, he's just had dinner with her. And she puts out this fire in a very bizarre way. She kind of vacuums it out by spinning. And she comes back with ash on her face. And it's just like an ongoing joke, and he's too thick to kind of realise it. But that isn't a surprise because that kind of sums his character up. But he's so thick and stupid all the way through, isn't he?
Yes. Extremely stupid and naive.
Yeah, he's just a fucking bell end. And you can even tell when we're introduced the next day to Hannah's boyfriend, the model, the underwear model, you just know at some point she's going to get shit on by him. And that's it. It's just ridiculous. But again, I had some of the lines, and Kel, you probably may not have thought this was funny, but I just chuckled when the boyfriend gets Matt Saunders' name wrong.
This is Matt. I've met him like 5 times.
All right. Right. It's okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm a very forgettable person. When I was growing up, every morning I'd come down to breakfast, my mom would scream, call the cops on me.
It's a joke, right? Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. You got me back.
No, I didn't find it funny. I get what he's doing, but I didn't find it funny.
No, it's just very simple humour. But I didn't like, and I know this film is supposed to be a comedy, but when they go out for their second date, being Jenny and Matt, when that taxi drive past and she kind of sucks the taxi towards her, which we need to talk about that kind of action a bit later on, it's so stupid that he doesn't notice. I know you meant to like suspend all belief, but it makes him even more of a stupid idiot than he actually is, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. The whole thing's stupid. It's just nonsense. It isn't needed. Yes, we already know she's got superpowers, but sucking off a taxi isn't really doing anything, is it? Didn't need it for me. And if you're referring to her sucking powers is in giving fellatio to a male, she'd suck the whole fucking thing off.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that now?
As we're already on the topic.
Let's do it.
You know, my goodness.
Well, it's true though, isn't it? If you did that to a bloke's dick, it'd literally shoot back. It'll shoot out of her arsehole. It'd be ridiculous.
It would be.
Your imagination is fantastic.
But it's true though, isn't it? It'd be good for about 0.2 seconds and then you'd be like bleeding to death. It's just, no.
When you think how many she got wrong before she perfected her technique.
Well, this is true. It's true.
Yeah, there'll be eunuchs walking around everywhere.
Eunuchs everywhere.
Dated.
I dated G-Girl once. There's a whole therapy group for it.
They'll speak like Mickey Mouse. And
oh, brilliant.
They'll dress like Farris from Lord of the Rings, from Game of Thrones.
But when you think, if she would have by now perfected her technique, just think. I mean, it would surely be the greatest ever, wouldn't it?
I think there's quite a lot of women out there that have got superhuman blowjob skills. You don't need to be a superhero to know how to do it properly.
Are you a superhero, Kel?
I can't grade myself, can I? I don't suck my own knob.
But you must have had feedback.
I've never had any complaints.
Is that because they've run away or... I mean, it's more important that you have.
I've sucked it off, and they can't speak. They're in too much pain.
Yeah, it's kind of better if you said, "I've had plenty of compliments," rather than no one said anything.
That makes me sound like a right, like up my own arse. Though I'm never going to go like that.
No, we're talking about blowjobs, sure. Kelly. We're talking about blowjobs.
Yeah, that's later on in the film. That's the third act.
Come on, let's stay on track.
Yeah, but you must. If you've had compliments, that's just a natural thing, isn't it? I mean, if you haven't, don't worry about it.
Yes, I've had a few compliments. Yes, I may have. You're the best around.
Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. There you go. Was that difficult?
No, but I don't know that people really need to know that about me.
I think that's up to our audience to find out, to be honest, rather than you making those kind of rules up yourself.
Okie dokie. Well, then there you go. They exactly. Know that I've had a lot of compliments giving a blowjob.
Oh, it's a lot now.
Oh, it's changing. It's ramping up.
It is.
It's on a LinkedIn and everything.
Okay.
By the end of the pod, it'll be hundreds.
Thousands. Millions. That makes me sound really bad, though.
Wow, millions. Even thousands sounds bad. Millions. Jesus.
Yeah, wow. But you're talking about the tongue action. When he kisses her, that... She, wow, this must be soul destroying. She destroys him. She says, like, whoa, 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 what are you doing with your tongue?
And it's your tongue. I mean, you're using it all wrong.
What are you talking about?
You're not supposed to stick it out there like a dead fish. I mean, you're supposed to flick it a little.
I think that I was flicking it, wasn't I? I think that I was doing that.
No, not enough.
Really? Okay, look, I'm just not used to having my tongue skills critiqued like this, okay?
Maybe not to your face.
Thankfully, I've never, ever had any complaints.
About kissing and
what I do with my tongue. I mean, that must be soul-destroying, mustn't it?
That would be horrendous. to your first proper kiss, and then she basically takes you apart.
Yeah, not in a good way.
No.
It's really bad. And then we get on to their first sex session that they have. I do like the fact that they do address the fact that she's got superpowers and she wants to sit on top of him and she straddles and she leads. Fucking hell. I mean, it must be amazing sex again, mustn't it? If you've got someone who's perfected that technique, super clunge, everything.
Super clunge. Did you just really be... say super clunge?
Yeah, it's got to be amazing, isn't it? It's got to be terrific.
Well, apart from your repair bill for your apartment that's been destroyed by this really weird slow sex act, no.
It wasn't very vigorous, though, was it? Positional-wise, it was, like, by her, she was obviously taking control. Maybe about 10 pumps, that was it.
Well, that's it. And she came like a train, and apparently so did he. And his walls wrecked. And it was just very odd. It was just a very odd scene. And boring, like Kelly says. Yeah. You know, all right, it's a PG-13, so it can't be, you know, doing like all sorts of reverse cowgirl and whatever else you want to do. But that's slightly less tame than this.
That would have been better, though, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
Yes.
I would have rather have seen that.
Yeah. It just needed to be a little bit more imaginative, because fine, she's got superpowers, she's amazing in bed. Well, then give her some sort of imagination. If she wants to take control, do it properly.
Yeah, but it would have been fun to see her go under the covers, not see anything, but you get the rough idea of what she's doing.
Mm.
And then him, like, screaming and howling, and then they pull back and show you the whole city, and it's him going like, whoa, and you know what's happened. So
yeah, I think that would have been better, definitely. Yeah, I completely agree. I thought this was really lame, really lame.
Yeah.
And then she's going, are you ready? Here we go, and all this, and it's just like, oh, is that it?
Do you mind if I get on top?
Trust me, it's better that way.
10-4.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
And then the fact that the whole bed's moving in this really weird way, which wouldn't add anything to it. I'm not being funny. If your whole bed started moving and smashing against your wall, there's not a lot that can put me off, but that would definitely put me off.
Especially if you've got good neighbours, you know, they don't need that, do they?
In the middle of it, you're worried about your neighbours. Wow. That's going to be a fun night.
What? The bed's banging against the wall like that, and she breaks the bed, and it's not even like a great position. Do something different. I mean, the next day when he's walking rather gingerly because his penis is red raw, but just from that, I mean, that's not a lot, is it?
No, well, I suppose they had to go with the rating of the film, but I thought it was not a particularly well-done scene, to be honest.
Yeah, they missed the trick there. It would have been much better, and I would have rather seen an 18 version and them just going hardcore. During the day, Heroic Ego is very kind of meek and mild, but G-Girl, in fact, is just a fucking raving nymphomaniac.
Yeah.
That would have made a much more interesting film.
Yeah, 100%. And then we're introduced to Eddie Izzard's character, Professor Bedlam. He's meant to be this kind of Gru character who's like a baddie, a well-known evil villain. But he doesn't come across as that. He just seems like someone, the character who he is, who's just obsessed with G-Girl and wants to constantly try and destroy her, but not really because he falls in love with her. And Izzy and I is a very funny guy, and he's not given a lot to do in this, is he, really?
No, not really. The only things I liked about this scene was the fact that he kept getting slapped around the face, which I did find quite funny. Yeah, it's just quite funny. Every time he talked to Eddie Izzard, looked at him, he just slapped him around the face. And there's a guy that looks just like Mickey Flanagan. But saying, I was just like, fuck me, is Mickey Flanagan in this? That but he wasn't, sadly. But yeah.
No, it would have been a good cameo. It really would have been. Yeah. But he's tied just to get the attention of G-Girl so they can go into her room and do what they did in, was it in Superman, The Quest for Peace, where they get a strand of hair from Superman, I think it is, that they get a strand of hair from G-Girl and you learn why they've done that. But G-Girl saves Matt, and she doesn't let him look at him because he's going to recognize her. Again, you get a demonstration of her superpowers when they're going out for a walk and she gets run over. She saves that little girl. And it's just kind of padded out. It's not needed. We know she's Supergirl. And she goes flying through the air and she's not injured. It would have been interesting if they would have shown damage to the car. Just kind of mixed it up a bit more of a comedy element rather than these ridiculous jokes that aren't funny, are they?
No, they're not funny. And the fact that she saves him, going back to that bit, and says, "Don't look at me," but she sounds exactly the same. So she's not even trying to hide, disguise her voice. It's like, well, surely that's you. And then, yeah, the car scene was just stupid. I don't know whether it was just to play up his character of being so fucking stupid. I don't know. But you're right. It was padded out and just nonsensical, really.
Yeah, it possibly could have been put in there because the next scene is when they go back to her house and she takes her clothes off and reveals herself to him in the G-Girl outfit. But he's very slow on the uptake, but he thinks it's more cosplay.
Oh, yeah. Got a G-Girl costume on. That's kind of went all out, didn't you?
For me, personally, in real life, if this happened, it would be utterly mind-blowing if you suddenly realised. It was like Wonder Woman. Like, if she revealed herself, and you'd be like, oh my God, I'm about to give Wonder Woman one. It's going to be amazing. Just think of the pressure, though, that would put on you to be good.
I was just about to say, wouldn't that, like, ruin the moment because of the pressure, and you wouldn't be able to perform?
I'd have to go and pop a Viagra, I've got to be honest.
You'd just give it your best shot, wouldn't you? Let's be honest.
I'd be worried.
Yeah, sometimes
enough,
that's
though.
Not good enough, though, is it?
Yeah, well, at least you tried. At the end of the day, it's a superhero. She wants you. You've already had sex once, and now she's saying, "I am who I am because I like you." And she obviously wasn't that bad in bed the first time, even though he just laid there and took it.
Yeah, so but that's not fun, is it? So to me, that's pretty shit.
No, it is shit. I'm not saying it's fun. I'm just saying she's obviously not turned around and thought, "Oh, this isn't worth pursuing." Generally, due to the red flag situation we get later on. But then it's like, over to you, sir. Now you have show me what you're made of. And whether you're good enough or not, you don't know until the end. But you can't just shy away from it, can you? Just because they're a superhero.
No, but it's really weird, isn't it? It's like when Rainn Wilson's talking and he says, "Well, what kind of superpowers would you have? You're going to have any." And Rainn Wilson says, "I'd love the ability to go and kind of suck myself off."
So, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
The ability to blow myself.
That's quite a visual. But wouldn't it seem a little
gay? No, yeah. Not at all.
Really? It seems that way.
That's just strange. I want another scene. I want him to talk about that more because I'd love an explanation to that one. I mean,
Is
that an ability that you guys would want?
What?
No,
funnily enough. No, okay. What about you then?
Well, that doesn't work like that with me, but no.
But if you could with yourself?
No, because it's no fun doing it yourself.
There you know. You kind of sound surprised that me and Neil don't want to do it, funnily enough.
Yeah, you don't want to suck your own dick?
But it's not... Okay, no, that's not needed.
It is. It's the same ball. What's not needed?
That's all right. I was going to have a whole different conversation, but I won't go there. No, I was going to say, okay, you don't want to suck yourself off or whatever, and you're saying, I don't know, is that gay or not gay? I don't know if that makes you gay or not. I have no idea. But would you taste yourself?
Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
No. Oh, no, sir.
Oh,
no.
I can't say I've ever licked it off myself. So... That's just because I don't want to.
Yeah, it's not something I've
thought
about.
But some blokes maybe do.
Does that make them... Exactly, that's my point.
I don't think it is gay, is it? It's another way of masturbating. I just don't really want to suck my own dick. It's much more fun watching someone else do it.
It's weird, isn't it? Because you'd masturbate.
Have I made it awkward? I'm very sorry.
Obviously, everyone does it. Blokes will masturbate and they'll ejaculate and everything.
I am right now.
And amazing stuff. And if it was like an ability that everyone had, like they won't and they don't suck themselves off, but they purely kind of, they'll masturbate freely. It's just a weird, like, why is that the cutoff? If it's yourself, surely it isn't gay if it is yourself. Because when you touch your penis to masturbate, you're not gay because you're touching your own penis. So what's the difference between sucking it?
Well, I guess
there isn't. Very good question.
There isn't, is there really? And yeah. Oh dear, no, I'm going to stop right there. So
why? That's just boring.
Because again, there's something that I could admit to.
Oh
my God, you can't say that and not go any further. I'm sorry.
So when I, all right, fine, okay, fine. But whether this makes the cut or not needs to be.
Oh, yes. It'll definitely make the cut, don't worry.
Brilliant. Right. So yeah, when I was a teenager, I was able to kind of do that to myself.
What, you were flexible enough to suck yourself off? Mm. And did you?
I tried it and then decided that, no, it wasn't for me.
So you have sucked your own cock?
Yes.
Interesting.
Why did you say Neil was flexible enough? Why couldn't it be that you are big enough to do it?
It's so big.
Why do you presume?
You've got to be flexible to bend that way. There's no way, I'm sorry. There's no way he's going to, no offence, Neil, but there's no way he's going to be like 3 foot long or something. That's just not going
to
work.
I don't think it has to be 3 foot, I've got to be honest.
Okay, a foot.
3 foot. Is like, that what you're used to these days? Is it the average?
What, a foot?
If it's not 3 foot, I'm just not interested.
Yeah, pretty much. You've got to have something special going on there for it to be worth it.
Blimey.
Bloody hell. You have to be awake when it goes hard as well if you're 3 foot and it's, yeah.
It's not much use if you're not awake, is it? Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, it's amazing though, Neil. Well done. I mean, congratulations.
Yeah. It's been a long fucking time. I couldn't do it now. But yeah, and I wouldn't want to. But there again, I haven't tried. So.
Oh, there you go.
We know what you're doing later.
Yeah, yeah, on the podcast when we'll find out, did Neil manage to suck his own cock? Yes. I know we won't be able to focus on that. It'll
be an interesting call to work when I pull my back out, wouldn't it?
What happened? Well, now there's the story.
Yeah, there's something happened.
Do you know the funny thing will be?
For the pod.
You'll wake up tomorrow just with a bad back, and you'll be like, "Oh my God, why did I say anything about my back? Because now I've got a really bad back."
Honestly, I would just go in crippled. I wouldn't care. I couldn't. I'd hobble around because that's.
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah. It was so good. Anyway.
I can't believe I just fucking admitted that.
I think it's amazing. I really do. It's what the podcast. Yeah,
it was it? Was it? That's not what you need to say after that.
That should be the title of that story. Such a dick.
What a dick.
Amazing. Amazing. But we do learn that Professor Bedlam and Jenny Johnson, when they were younger, they went to school together. He was obsessed with her. And all he wanted was her love. And they did get together at some point to have sex. But when a meteor came and she touched a meteor, which gave her superpowers, and he didn't touch it, which he's missed out. And so you've got that element of jealousy, but and he still loved her. And that's why he wants his revenge. And that's really what the plot is based on. It's very thin. It's very predictable. And that's what they kind of he's chasing her for. But he does go back to the fact of they have sex in the sky. If you can maintain an erection that high, fair play, you're like a bloody hero.
The fact is, though, his reaction to it all, in the sense of when he's up there and he's like, oh, you haven't got any underwear. He's looking around more and concentrating on that. There's no way he's enjoying what's going on. And there's potential, I'd guarantee that there is, you know, that's a semi. It's a slight chub. He's not going to be rock hard, is he? Because he's not concentrating enough on it. It's just, you know. There's no way.
No. If you were G-Girl Cal in that position, what would you do?
There's way too much going on there to actually be able to have fun and enjoy it. Because like you say, he's not concentrating. You've got to get something out of it as well. So there's just too much going on there for you to actually concentrate on what's the good stuff. So it could be way more enjoyable without being however many thousand feet up in the air.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a case of one person can't be terrified. It kind of takes the fun away.
Well, depends on the situation, but yeah.
You can elaborate on that one, please.
Well, it's like BDSM, isn't it? You know, you get to the point where they're about to give in. You know, they're almost terrified of what's going to happen next, but that's actually a turn on for them, pushing their limits.
Okay. Very interesting. You did see a lot into this film, mate. I have to say, got many layers.
Well, yeah, I am an onion at the end of the day.
And we quickly have a flash scene where Professor Bedlam can cut the hair, take the power out of the hair that he took from the flat, blind a G-Girl, which means he can take her powers away. But we get our proper first red flag when Hannah and Matt are on the building site. Tell me, and I thought this was very strange, Kel, if you were out with a friend and had a splinter in their thumb, would you let them put their finger in your mouth so you could suck the splinter out? Is that a method anyone's heard of?
No and no. I've never heard of it, for a start. But no, I wouldn't suck a splinter out of my friend's finger. No, I wouldn't. That's weird. Don't get me wrong. I would definitely pluck it out, or like get tweezers or something and cause a little bit of pain to get it out of their finger. Hell yes. But
on purpose. I wouldn't.
What? Get a splinter out? Yeah, I'm a bit sadistic like that, yeah.
Sucking a splinter out is a well-tried method.
Is it?
You know, yeah. I've done it. Is it? Times. Yeah, of course it is. And getting your teeth around it and try and pull it out. Yeah, it's all like the whole motion of it. And if Anna Faris did that to me, I would definitely be harder than flying in the sky with Uma Thurman.
But would you let your mate do it on a building site?
If it was Anna Faris, yes.
Because I took that as a sexual thing that she did to him by putting his finger in her mouth. Like, it's obviously a symbol of his penis in her mouth. That's what I took it as.
Yeah, I took it as that as well. If you're saying if I would do it to someone who I fancied or wanted to actually suck my cock, then yeah, probably. But if I was just a mate on a building site, no, I wouldn't.
Right.
I wonder how many splinters you're going to get this week, Stu. That's fucking splinters again.
Feeling Kells will come in with fuckloads of sandpaper all of a sudden just to smooth everything over.
Hell yeah. Brilliant.
Like a deck of sander all day.
Worth a try, Stu.
Well, yeah, never mind. I can suck my own one. It's absolutely fine. So,
can you? You did as well.
No, my finger.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, mate.
I love that your mind went straight to that. Wow.
But if I got a splinter in mine, then I don't know where I'd go. I mean, Neil, you've done it before. It's a tried and tested method, so I'd probably give you a ring.
That's cool.
Why would you... What could you possibly be doing to get a splinter in your knob?
I think he meant his finger.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless he was a bit like... doing it like a horse and beating it against a piece of wood, because that's how they masturbate, isn't it? So,
is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Look it up.
They bang. Okay.
Maybe put some words around that rather than just horse masturbating, because you might get flagged.
How do you know that?
I used to go out with a girl that did equine stuff, so she gave me all sorts of knowledge about horse dicks.
Wow.
Slightly concerning amount of knowledge about horse dicks, actually. Yeah. But, yeah.
That explains that piece of wood in your bedroom now. You say it's protection.
you leave my bit of wood out of this, all right? That was between us.
It wasn't at the time. Anyway, as I've said before, back to the film. They go on a foursome date where they all go out, but we soon learn, and it's very predictable, that the boyfriend of Hannah has blown her out, and he's down the line, he's going to have an affair, which we find out that he does have an affair. And again, I quite like this scene, the fact that all she wants to do, being G-Girl, is be in the restaurant and have something to eat. She's proper jealous. She doesn't want to leave them alone. And there's this missile coming towards the city, and she just is ignoring everything, and she's fucked off, and she doesn't want to save everyone because she just wants to be with her boyfriend. And she is neurotic now, isn't she? This will be it now. She'd be gone.
Yeah, she's... The red flags are fucking waving so high. It's, you know, it's ridiculous. But yeah. He just doesn't get it, does he? He just does not get it at all, and it's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah,
I have to be honest.
She punches the window out of the car on the way back out of jealousy because she sees both Matt and Hannah celebrating, and she's just fucking nuts. And she really, really is bonkers. So much so that even Matt goes and speaks to his best mate, Rainn Wilson, Vaughn, saying that she's actually fucking bonkers. But even then, he's encouraged by Vaughn to stay with her because people like that, again, are often the best in bed. And just to try and kind of long it out. And it's when he does go and split up with her. And I quite like this scene that she's got a massive knife in her hand. And he's shitting himself, understandably, about trying to break up with her. And it's a funny scene for me where she gets this Bikavi knife and just bends it. Talk about pressure. It's a case of, are you going to stick to your guns? Because you know that she's a fucking nutcase. And fair play does, doesn't he?
I'd say pick your moments. This is not the best moment to break up with a superhero when they're wielding a massive knife and they're clearly unhinged.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she tries to fry his fish and Biggie Smalls.
That's
and...
just cruel.
Yeah.
That is cruel. And she goes through his ceiling and puts a massive hole in there. And it's funny, and kind of where the scene where she goes, you can't tell anyone that I'm a superhero. And again, it's a red flag moment. It says, you need to promise that if you tell someone that I'm going to stick a chainsaw in your asshole, that's got to be a big fucking red flag if there is one, that someone's a bit of a fucking cuckoo.
Well, yeah, let's go to straight to that. Yeah, that's definitely cuckoo, as you say.
But he does tell Rainn Wilson, doesn't he? And he has that
in
nightmare.
A dream.
Yeah, in a dream that she comes in the fucking restaurant with a chainsaw ready to stick it in his ass.
And yeah.
I thought that was quite good. And he's just paranoid now. That's it. It's just a case of when is she going to turn up and when is she going to fucking ruin everything? And it's the first vengeance when he goes to the car park and she's taken his car and he finds out that she's thrown it into space, isn't she?
She has. Yeah, she's written stuff all over it and then thrown it into space.
I like that scene. I thought that was good. I thought it kind of shows what a superhero with revenge would do. And when she uses her eye lasers, Kel, and writes on his head. And I wasn't too sure what she would write. But being a PG-13, you're quite limited.
It would have been more interesting to be something like that, I guess. But I suppose they had to kind of be nice with it, didn't they, which was a bit of a shame. But that's kind of the same throughout the film, isn't it? There's a lot that they could do better if they just went for a slightly higher age rating. They could have a lot more fun with it, and they could have made it, even just for a 15, they could have made it a lot, they could have put more comedy into it. They had to try and play it safe because of the age rating. Even doing it as a 15 would have probably given it a lot more comedy and a lot more like entertainment value.
Yeah,
and when he's in the meeting with the Japanese, which they make a point about that he needs to do his presentation, and G-Girl comes and rips his clothes off, that is a body double who's in there. Thoughts on his bottom, Kel?
I would say that's quite a peachy butt, yeah. That's not bad.
Definition on the back as well.
Yeah, he's quite muscly. I mean, whoever this body double is clearly works out. I can't imagine that the actual guy does. What was it, Luke Wilson? I can't imagine he actually looks like that naked because of the shape of this guy's shoulders and everything. He's not the same shape at all. But yeah, that's a peachy ass. It's not bad. You can tell he does squats.
Yeah, he's properly in shape. Yeah, and it's strange.
You know, who would have done that, though? Tom Cruise would have been a better body.
Of course, of course.
Because, you know, he doesn't believe in giving people jobs.
Talking about Tom Cruise,
he's a bellend.
Yeah.
Closing ceremony of the Olympics, fucking amazing. Tom Cruise, how good was that? Abseils down from the top of the Stade de France. Awesome fucking stunt.
I have a very different opinion of that.
Yeah, me too.
It's brilliant. And the reason being, because it's Los Angeles next year, so they take the flag back to where the country is hosting it. That's why Tom Cruise did it, because it's obviously taking it back home where he goes on his motorbike and goes on top of the into the plane, then does his dive, skydive out the plane. I thought it was fucking brilliant. I just thought it's tongue in cheek, but it's great. It's Tom Cruise. It was so good. No better person to do it in the world than that man. Fucking loved it.
Okay, then.
Yeah, we'll leave you to that.
Yeah, cheers. I've got a bit of a chub at the moment. So
you are tongasm. On your own. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a couple of tongasms when I saw that. And yeah, I put it out and I got the appropriate feedback from you guys. That would you call me a knob straight away, Neil, within you, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it was aimed at him really more than you, but you can take it on board.
It
as well.
Fits the either situation.
Yeah, I took 50% of it. It's fine.
That's good. That's all right.
And we do learn the plan, because we're coming to the end of the film, sadly, that Eddie Izzard wants to take away the superpowers. And because that she's so fucking neurotic, that he's well up for the idea because it will get rid of her. And he's got this meteor that he's going to put in a box and that will take away all of her powers. The same way she got those powers, it will take them away. And that way he can just be rid of her forever. And it's a very, very basic ending. But before we get to that, I'd love to know your thoughts. He goes back to Anna Faris's apartment. They connect, they make out, and it's normal sex this time. But out of the window is G-Girl holding a great white shark, which she throws through the window. The first time I saw this, I thought it was a very original idea, and it's typical of someone who's absolutely green with envy.
I thought it was awful.
Yeah, I thought it was shit.
For originality, throwing a great white shark through the living room window. A poor shark died. Very, very
sad.
Well,
then surely that's just mean. She could have done so many other things with her special powers. She didn't have to kill.
You think she's got something against fish?
That's true. Biggie Smalls was boiled nearly, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then she chooses a bigger one.
But I quite liked it. I thought it was a stupid original idea. And yeah, seeing it a second time, seeing it, and then it's no laughs. But first time I saw it, I thought it was quite good. And he does go back to being Matt, go back to Uma Thurman to make up with her. And because she's fucking bonkers and because she's still desperate, that she does go back and she agrees to go on a date. And in a box is this meteor that it is set up, as I said earlier, to take her powers away. I don't quite understand, whilst he's having this date, being watched in a van outside by Professor Bedlam, that all of a sudden Hannah Lewis turns up, Anna Faris. And then conveniently, Rainn Wilson turns up as well. Why is everyone suddenly, at the end of this, turning up at the apartment when it's only about Professor Bedlam to take away G-Girl's powers? It didn't make any sense. Did I miss something as to everyone being invited?
No, I think it was just a nice, neat little way of getting them all together at the end for the big finale. Yeah. But yeah, there was no real reason.
No.
Right. Even when I watched it tonight, I thought, what is going on? I don't quite get it. And they do open the box and it does take her powers away. And then there's a fight and it ends up with an explosion and it touching exactly the same time is Anna Faris and Uma Thurman touch this meteor. And obviously, you know that they're both going to get the powers. When Anna Faris falls through that skylight, you know she's not dead. But I do like the fact that Rainn Wilson says, go out and fucking shag someone else. This is the grieving process and this is how you deal with it. I did quite like that, and that made me chuckle. So he is just a fucking deviant. And then you get this fight, but both got superpowers, between Hannah and Jenny. And the fight is just so boring, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's so slow. It's so predictable. It's just shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad acting. It's just non-eventful. Mm-hmm. And it ends again in the worst way when it's broken up at this fashion shoot when they all declare their dying love for each other. And Matt tells Jenny, because there's one person who's made for you, and it's Barry.
You know, and you're a great girl, and you deserve to be with the perfect guy. You too.
I do.
And I know who the perfect guy for you is, and he's here, right now. Professor! What?
Barry?
Go on, Professor. Tell her.
Tell her what?
Listen.
She's my mortal enemy, that I want nothing but her destruction.
Come on, Barry. Please.
Please stop calling me Barry.
It's such lazy writing. It's such a convenient, poorly acted way. When you think Uma Thurman is a really good actress.
Yeah.
She's done some brilliant work. She must have just done this for the paycheck, because it's fucking awful, isn't it?
Oh, it's, yeah, completely agree. Absolutely. And you do wonder, don't you, especially for her. The others, not so much, because obviously Anna Faris has done loads of slapstick stuff and Eddie Izzard will do anything. But she must have looked at the script and thought, oh, fuck it, I need some more money. Because you couldn't have looked at this script and thought, this is good.
No, not at all. And when you learn that Hannah is now a superhero and she's got ginger hair, did you prefer the ginger haired Hannah or the blonde one?
The blonde.
The blonde girl?
Blonde.
Blonde. Yeah, fair enough. I thought when she was blonde, she looked like you. But bear in mind, I did say she had a face that looked like a green.
I was going to say, that's a fucking insult. You're brave. Considering you're working with me tomorrow.
Yep, that's true. Didn't think about that.
That's true. Well, good luck tomorrow.
Does this go along with me making an effort to look rough?
Oh, dear. Going well, Stu. It's going well.
Yeah, I've explained my rationale for saying that, haven't I?
It failed fucking miserably then as well.
It was a compliment.
Like I say, it failed miserably and didn't convince me, Steve, or Neil. So
it's because you didn't understand it. It's very much like the G-Girl scenario, that you play yourself down.
Oh, and when
you kind of come out as G-Girl, when you go out in the evening, look completely different.
See, now that's some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was kind of, we just didn't understand. It's quite a technical compliment. It's absolutely fine. Do not worry about it.
It wasn't a compliment, and neither saying I've got a face like a gremlin. But anyway, moving on.
No problem. And at the end of this, G-Girl, and we don't know what her name is yet, but Hannah, team up to save this plane from falling out of the sky. And when they kind of spin round like Wonder Woman into their uniforms, outfits, they're just wearing like underwear, aren't they? I don't get it. I'm not like complaining. I'd like to be rescued by a superhero who was wearing kind of a Basquen stockings and suspenders. It'd be amazing. A distraction, but very strange though.
They're not even nice outfits though, are they? Let's be honest. You say underwear, they just look really odd underwear.
They do look strange. It's not that sexy.
No, it's not. If someone wore that to try and impress you in the bedroom to get you going, there'd be questions.
But it's weird. I don't know whether it's the underwear she's got underneath her clothes and when she spins around, all her clothes come off, or whether they're the outfits.
I think it's a whole different outfit, isn't it? But yeah, like Neil says, it's not sexy. It's not attractive.
No, it doesn't look nice. It just looks like that's the last thing they had in the wardrobe and wear that. And it won't be on the screen for long, so don't worry about it.
That's basically, kind of where went.
Yeah, but she does have super sex with Matt as well, doesn't she? Because since having the superpowers, that's risky. It's the first time she's exercising her superpowers in the sack.
You don't want to be the first.
No.
Oh, I'm not being funny. No, but this, why have they just repeated the same sex scene? Same fucking dialogue.
Same position. It's surely just... be different.
Also, how would she know if it's the first time she's having sex when she's a superhero? You wouldn't necessarily know straight away. You'd have to try things and realise.
Maybe she's, you know, crushed a few dildos in the process of trying it out. And
I see. Figured out the right
type of, you know.
I love your imagination.
Grip. Yeah, well, you know, it's good to think about things, isn't it?
Right.
Okey-doke. I was thinking, possibly, because when you think that Matt has given Jenny one, and now he's given Hannah one, that are these into kind of swapping? Is that what they do?
No, I don't think that's what they're doing. I think that's in your fantasy world, definitely.
Sadly, I'm twisted. But that is the end, sadly, of my Super Ex-Girlfriend. And I'm going to go to you, Countdown. What do you think of this film?
I don't have a lot. I don't have anything positive to say about it, to be honest. It's not something I would recommend. The story is so predictable and boring. It's ridiculous. There's no suspense. There's no comedy. There's nothing that holds your interest, really, in my opinion. It's the sort of film a young girl would show or have on as a sleepover film with her friends. It's not a film for anything else. I can't see why. There's no point in it. It's just a bit rubbish.
So how much would you give it? I'm thinking a high score now, out of 5.
I can't score it, I'm afraid. It's not going to get a score from me.
Fair enough. Nothing from you, Neil.
It's not funny. It's not dirty. It's not clever. It hasn't got, even the music's annoying, so that there's no even a good soundtrack behind it. Like, as soon as it opens up, it's that generic rom-com bullshit music that just instantly makes my blood boil. The story's shit, the acting's shit, the story, everything about this film is utter bollocks. The comedy elements, there is no comedy. It's just the worst, one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. It's on par with Shoot 'Em Up. This, if I could give negative points, I would give negative points.
You
it's
can.
A zero. It's zero. It's never watched this film, anybody. It's the biggest stain on fucking cinema. It's awful. It's just fucking trash. So there you go. That is my, it's, honestly, I fucking hated every second of this. It's been more fun talking about it because of the fact that we can just take it into different avenues. Hence why you obviously wanted to review it. Fair play to you. But other than that, if this was just erased from history, I'd be happy.
I can't agree. I disagree with anything you said, to be honest. It's a fucking terrible film. And I watched it the other day. And I've seen this quite a few times. So I do watch any trash. And I just thought this would be, it's a terrible film, but it will be a fun film to talk about because it's so bad. And it's just a film you can watch and have a laugh with. And that's what I really wanted, to be honest. It's, you can't critique this film serious because the plot is so thin. The acting's terrible. The jokes aren't really funny. And it's just a really weird film that I'm just struggle that they ever kind of decided to fucking make it. Because it just doesn't offer anything. There's so many other films out there that are much better than this that have kind of a similar plot. And I'm really surprised that Ivan Reitman did this, that produced it, because he's done some great films. And this just is one of the worst films. And yeah, it was purely for the pod. I would not recommend this film to anyone because it's quite fucking insulting, to be honest. It's just shit, but it's a good film to critique and talk about. That's what it is. I think that was the purpose of it ever being made.
What would you score it then?
I'd score it kind of 0.5. That's it. Just because I laughed, I chuckled a couple of times.
Okay.
And that's it. But when I watched it today, again, for the pod, I fell asleep. I just thought, I can't watch this. I'm so tired. It's boring me. And that's how entertained I was. So it's just, yeah, it's not great at all, but it's got its purpose. It's made to be ripped apart and critiqued, which I think we've done pretty fucking well tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that is it. That's the end of the podcast. If you're still listening and if you're not fucking sickened or horrified by the content of this, well done. There's about 300 odd other podcasts on the queue that you can listen to. We've just got absolutely everything. And we don't just stick to kind of like superhero films, not that I'd ever call this a superhero film, but we've got Fanboys, Beverly Hill Cop, Disturbia, Run, The Guest, Cannonball Run, we've got Jaws, Battleship, Guns Akimbo, Cult of Chucky, the Roadhouse films. There's something for everyone, and it's all free, advert free, and it's on the queue waiting to be listened to on all good podcast platforms. So thank you very much. We'll be back again next week. Neil, will we have the pleasure of your company next week?
I will try, but I may not be able to attend next week.
No problems. And Countdown, I'm sure that you'll be around.
Probably.
You sound so disappointed.
So.
You really sound gutted about that.
Well, let's not do another film like this.
We won't at all. As I say, this wasn't done because it's one of my all-time favourite go-tos that I watch every week. I promise you that. So we will do something different. Thanks everyone for listening. You take care.
All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience, and any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.